and visit the book of Job and talk with, spend some time here with Job. Go back to Job. We're actually going to be in chapter 39 today. Chapter 39 of the book of Job. Okay, Job chapter 39. I know we said the teens are going to stay in, and somehow they all went out. So we probably ought to have some. That's right, we have one back here, one faithful one right here. So that's right, two here. We might, maybe we ought to have one of the elders go and just kind of check on that and see what's going on. What's that? It was all the boys, yeah. One kind of whispering, you know. I think what they waited until Dad turned his back, right, and everything. And then Josh and Chris, Jonathan and Stephen led the charge out the door. So, you know, Josh and Chris are still here. There we go. They stayed right in there. So, I'll have to get the two older boys to go beat up the two younger boys and bring them back in here, right? So, you know. Okay. Anyway, that's one thing about being a grace ministry. You know, you really can't use the whip. You know what I'm saying? Too much anyway. At least not when everybody knows it, right? So, okay. We, of course, have been spending a good amount of time in the book of Job. And we got here because of our present series on science called True Science. And what we are finding as we're going verse by verse through chapter 38, 39, and so forth, is not only is there a tremendous amount of information in here that is relevant to science, but what we're finding is that almost in coded form, there's information in these chapters here about God's plan and purpose for reconciling and restoring the earth. And we have had a lot of very interesting feedback on this series. Just yesterday again, I got another email about this series. And they said that they're really enjoying it. It's been quite intriguing. And that they've always wanted to try to understand some things in Job, and they never had. And they're saying, keep going in the detail and so forth. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago that it's really a struggle in terms of, well, how much detail do we go into? Because, you know, we could spend easily 6 more months here. But we're not going to, all right? And I hope that if nothing else, that what this has done is, first of all, really opened our mind to understanding what true science is and how to discern that. But also, in reading this section here, not just simply appreciate the fact that when God created man, He gave to man and told man he was to have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that creeps on the earth and the cattle of the earth and so forth, but to understand that God set all that up on purpose. Everything that God does, He does it on purpose. And all those details there, they're there for a reason. Okay? Now, I want to start, actually, I know it asked you to turn to 38 and 39, but I actually want you to start in the last chapter of Job. We're going to look at a passage over here, Job 42. Look over to Job chapter 42. There's a phrase here. This phrase here will really tell you and give you the purpose of the book of Job. It's real interesting. It's a simple phrase. It's Job chapter 42. And if you look at verse 10, and you do want to underline this, you do want to mark it. It says, and the Lord did what? Turned the captivity of Job. Underline that, and let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word this morning. And again, we ask that as we study this very wonderful, fascinating book of Job here, and in the section that we're doing, that we might gain some insight and wisdom of what's here, and that the result of that would be, God, just we would be impressed with You, that we would appreciate You, that we would, to a greater degree, that we would really see that You indeed have got everything set up ahead of time for accomplishing Your purpose in creation. And we'll thank You for that in Christ's name. Amen. Now, that verse, chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. If you just read that, it may not appear like there's much taught or implied in that verse. But what the book of Job is about is Job is taken into satanic captivity. The whole discussion with his three friends and then a fourth individual That whole discussion back and forth, the reason they don't know what's going on is that they don't know what's going on. They don't really realize and appreciate the satanic captivity that Job was under. And it takes God to turn the captivity. Now, when you say turn the captivity, what would that mean? No longer captive. Set him free and so forth. That's key. See, the book of Job is a picture of the nation of Israel under satanic captivity, and it's going to take God to be able to release them from that satanic captivity. And what we've seen in the series of questions so far in chapter 38, and you'll see this all the way through chapter 38, 39, 40, and so forth, all the series of questions that God has been asking Job is not only about creation, about the earth, about the heavens, about animals. Today we're going to look specifically at some animals he mentions and things like that. But contained in the question is actually information. And information not simply about, say, the heavens or the earth or the environment or things like that, but almost coded secret information for Israel, who in the future will be in satanic captivity, and how God is going to turn their captivity. When Israel's in that tribulation period, they're in satanic captivity. And by the way, and not just then, let me say it this way. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on the earth. In fact, let me have you look back. Hold Job there and go with me to Matthew 21 here. Make it Matthew 12. Matthew 12, we're going to say this real quick and then we're going to move on. The captivity of Israel really started back there in the Old Testament. And the power of Satan over Israel progressively increased over time. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, the satanic captivity of the nation of Israel was such that there were more devils in Jerusalem and in the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There were more devils in the land than there were Israelites. Remember that? There was even one guy had a whole legion inside of him. And the purpose of Satan amassing his fallen angels, the devils, in the land is he understood that Jesus Christ was there to dispute the authority and throne in the land. And Jesus Christ says it this way in Matthew chapter 12. He says at verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." You see, there's some kind of competition going on. Some kind of confrontation, right? Devils are being cast out. Well, who's doing it? It's either Beelzebub or it's God. Which one is it? Okay? Keep reading. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." The way that Luke says it, he says, then no doubt the kingdom of God is come. He said, man, this is the evidence you've been looking for. This is the evidence you've been waiting for. Those of you that are looking for the evidence, the believing remnant, right? And then he says at verse 29, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first do what?" He's got to bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Who was the strong man that held Israel captive? It was Satan. Jesus Christ is the stronger man that prophecy said would come. And he would enter into the strong man's house, spoil it, bind the strong man, and then he would be able to spoil his goods. See that? So the satanic captivity of Israel actually started back there in the Old Testament. It intensified over the period of the Old Testament. And when Jesus Christ is there on the earth, I mean, he's got total control of the nation of Israel. When Jesus Christ shows up and begins to cast out those devils and so forth, what's he demonstrating? He's demonstrating his capacity and ability to bind the strong man, to clean up the house and so forth. But remember what Israel's response was. Jesus Christ cleaned up the house. That devil goes out and comes back. And how does he find the house? He finds it empty, cleaned up, and garnished. And so then what does he say? I'm going to go find seven worse than myself, and we're going to reoccupy the house. Jesus Christ cleaned up the house, the nation of Israel, but did they open their heart to Him? No, they said, we have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to reign over us. And then they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, the last day that man is worse than the first. So the state of the nation of Israel in that tribulation period is going to be even worse than it was back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Israel is going to be under absolute satanic captivity in the tribulation period. And what God did for Job, He turned their captivity. It's going to take God doing the same thing for Israel in that tribulation period. That's why the book of James says, you guys need to go read Job. Isn't that fascinating? It talks about the patience of Job. You see how Job got through it? Job got through it because he realized it was going to take the power of God to turn the captivity. All right, so now, go back with me to Job chapter 38 and 39. So as we're reading through these questions in the book of Job, we have seen consistently that as God asks Job a series of questions, coupled together with each series of questions, God makes a statement relevant to God destroying the satanic rebellion out of the heavens and out of the earth, and rescuing Israel. We've seen that already all the way through. Do you remember seeing that? These various questions when he talks about, here thy proud waves are going to be stayed. You're in chapter 38. Look at chapter 38, verse 40. The last phrase, here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Verse 13. Did I give you the right reference there? Okay, I'm sorry. 38 verse 11. What did I say? 38 verse 40? All right. Back up. Okay. 38 verse 11. 38, 11. Last phrase. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed. That's not just stopping the waves at the ocean because of the capacity of the sand to prevent the waves and so forth. That's talking about God stopping Satan's proud rebellion. Look at verse 13. Last half of the verse. That the wicked might be shaken out of it. You see, verse 15, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Jump to verse 23, talking about the hail, which I have reserved against what? The time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. You see what's going on there? Every time that God asked Job this series of questions, towards the end of each series, He imparts information to Job about His plan and purpose to destroy the wicked out of the universe. Okay? Now, last time we were together, we looked at verse 21. No, verse 22 all the way down to verse 30. We saw that the idea of God causing it to rain, verse 26. Look at verse 26. To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, in the wilderness. What do we find out? Why does God want it to? Why does Israel need to know that God is able to cause it to rain in the wilderness where there is no man? Why do they need to know that? Because they're going to be in the wilderness and they're going to need those rains to come. They're going to need God to cause the desert to blossom. It doesn't say like a rose, but as a rose. Well, how does a rose blossom? Start small and then. You know, the question in Isaiah 66 is, shall the earth bring forth in a day? Well, it did already once, right? Genesis. In one day, He said, let the earth bring forth the herb. Let the earth bring forth the fruit trees. It brought forth in a day. And God is going to cause it to rain in the wilderness where no man is. That little believing remnant is going to be reading the book of Job, and they're going to say, wait, there's some clues here. There's clues for us to see. This is not only about this water course and about the water cycles, and there's not only scientific information here, but there's actually salvation information here. We're going to have to flee from Jerusalem, go into the mountains in the wilderness, into the place prepared for us. We looked at all those verses last time, remember, in a lot of detail. And they're going to go there, and God is going to take care. He says, the beasts of the field are going to honor me. Now today we're going to talk about the beasts of the field, because that's what He does. We actually, a couple of weeks back, if you look at verse 31, 32, 33, Pleiades, Orion, Maseroth, Arcturus, and we looked at that briefly about 4 weeks ago, we're going to come back later to that later on. If you follow down through this, look what he does down at verse 39. Will thou hunt the prey for the what? Or the young lion. Jump down to verse, go to chapter 39. Knowest thou the time of the what? The wild goats. Chapter 39, verse 1. See that? A little bit further ahead, verse 5. Who hath sent out the what? The wild ass. A little further ahead to verse 9. Will the what? That's an interesting one right there. Look at verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto or unto the ostrich? A little bit further down. Here, Denise and Celine, you guys will like this one. Verse 19. Hast thou given the? And then a little bit further ahead to verse 26. Doth the what? You know, is this an accident that as you move on into the next section, that God now is beginning to ask Job about various creatures, beasts of the earth? It's interesting. There's a pattern to all this. I hope you're seeing this. Remember, God gave to man, he told man he was to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle of the earth, and everything that creepeth on the earth. And God, he started with the earth. He, in this section here, chapter 38 into chapter number 39, starts with the earth, looks at the atmosphere, about the water and so forth, looked at the heavens, Pleiades, Orion and so forth, and now he's going to spend a little bit of time asking Job about the animals. Why? Listen, in every one of these questions about the animals, there are clues for the believing remnant about how God is going to turn their captivity. Remember he said, we looked at it last week, he said, even the beasts of the field are going to honor me. Okay? So, you think I'm nuts, right? That's okay. I mean, this to me is just fascinating, this information here. Okay? But remember that every time God asks Job these various questions, he's not simply asking Job, hey, Job, do you happen to know the gestation period of a wild goat? Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Why do I need to know that? Does anybody here need to know the gestation period of a wild goat? I mean, is that going to make you walk closer to the Lord and that kind of thing? Maybe is the right answer. Understand that? When he asked Job the question, chapter 39, verse 1, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Well, I wonder if Job thought, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Job probably knew, by the way. The wild goats, by the way, if you want to check it out on Wikipedia, it's about 170 days, I think they said it was. Okay, 170 days. Great, yay, praise Jesus, you know, kind of thing. Now what do I do with that information? Well, and how about the idea at verse 5, who has sent out the wild ass free? Who hath loosed the bands of the... Well, God, you did, but why do I need to know that? See that? And the unicorn... Well, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Well, I don't know, Lord, will he? But why do I need to know this information? God, why are you asking me this question? Most of the interpretation, most of the guys who you read the commentaries in the book of Job, they'll tell you that the reason God is asking Job these questions is simply to say to Job, Job, I'm God and you're not. But didn't Job know that? Job was a Bible believer. Job was a faithful guy and so forth. Job doesn't simply need to be reminded that God is God and Job isn't God. And by the way, and Job does acknowledge that later on in the book. He says, you're God and you can do all things and I can't do anything. So Job acknowledges that. But God is not asking Job these questions just from the standpoint of saying, Job, you know, would you wise up? I'm God. But it's amazing how many commentaries, that's all they see in this. I'm suggesting there's more. And we've spent some time here already, right, in these chapters, and we've seen, wow, there really is some information here, okay? So, if God says that the beasts of the field are going to honor him, what might that mean? If God says the beasts of the field are going to honor him, that means they're going to do what God created them to do. And he says they're going to honor him in relationship to the provision and protection of the believing remnant going through that tribulation period. Okay? So with that in mind, let's do this. Look at 39 verse 1 again. We obviously are not going to have time this morning to look at all these, but you've got the wild goats in verse 1 through 4. You've got the wild ass in verse 5 down to verse 8. You've got the unicorn, verse 9 to verse 12. You've got the peacock and the ostrich in verse 13 all the way down to verse 18. You've got the horse in verse 19 down to verse 25. And you've got the hawk, verse 26 down to verse 30. Now, look at verse 1. I'm going to read this section. And I want you to see, is there anything that stands out to you as I read this section? He says, Job, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calf? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. Let's say Job knew the answer to all those questions. He could say, yes, God, the gestation period was X number of days. I understand that when they're born, and which is true, that when they're born, the young one get right up on their feet, and it's, you know, they don't wobble at all. They get up and they're ready to go, and they grow up with corn, and then they go off and live on their own. And Job would say, yes, God, I understand all that. But God, why are you asking me these questions? Why is this in the Bible? Why is it relevant to anything? Okay, as we read that, were there any phrases that seemed kind of to repeat and to stand out? And it might teach us something about turning Israel's captivity. Time. The time. Look at the repeated phrases in relationship to a question about time. Watch this. Knowest thou the time? Same verse. Or canst thou mark when? Verse 2. Canst thou number the months? Same verse, a little bit further. Knowest thou the time? You know, friends, there's a code in that verse. There's a clue for Israel in God asking Job, hey, Job, you happen to know the gestation period of the hinds and of the wild goats? He's asking Job a different question. He's not just simply asking Job, hey, go study this animal, figure out when it's going to get birth and so forth. He's saying, Job, if you'll study that animal, that in the gestation process, and in how they bring forth, which is the other phrase that kept appearing here, that there's going to be a clue for you. There's going to be a hint for you. So, Job, you'll understand. You'll know the time of the turning of your captivity. See what's going on there? By Job being able to answer that question, and by the believing remnant out there in that tribulation period, thinking this through and studying this through and so forth, they're going to say, wait a minute, by asking us these questions, He's conveying some information how He's going to communicate to us a time schedule so that we'll be able to know when our captivity will be turned, when the woman with child will cast forth her sorrows, when the nation will be born. You see what's here? Or am I fishing out straws here? Friend, look what it says again. Knowest thou the time? And then the phrase, when the wild goats of the rock do what?
Bring forth.
Canst thou mark when the hinds do? Okay, so now we're going to talk about bring forth. Calf, verse 2. Canst thou number the months when they fulfill? So you've got bring forth, you've got calf, you've got fulfill. Verse 3 again, you've got bring forth. Verse 3, they bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. The nation of Israel is often in the Bible likened unto a woman with child ready to bring forth and bring to the birth. See that? The nation of Israel is going to go through that tribulation period, and it's going to be like a woman in birth pangs. Now, any of y'all here know about that? Men, don't raise your hand. Other than being nervous when they're giving birth and so forth. But you understand the concept of, well, some of y'all here today, the ladies understand the concept, okay? The moms understand. You go through that pain and it intensifies and intensifies and intensifies and so forth. And then you cast forth the sorrows and the child is born. Well, Scripture often likens the nation of Israel to that very picture. Going through that tribulation period and then the nation being born. Hold this passage here and go with me over to Isaiah 66 again. When I say again, I mean we looked at it last time. Actually, maybe we didn't look at it. Maybe we didn't. So I think I might have just made reference to it. But go to Isaiah 66, verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8 says this. It says, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing?" Okay, there's two questions here. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Remember, we talked about that last time, right? What's the answer to that question? Yes, it did it once, it's going to do it again, right? But there's a follow-up question. Or shall a nation, singular, in the Bible, who is the nation when it's singular? That's the nation of Israel. Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring... Here's God's question. He says, listen, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I take Israel through that tribulation period like a woman with a child and take them right up to the birth and not cause them to be born? What's the answer? No, I'm going to take them through the process. My nation is going to be born, and they're going to be born at once. They're going to be brought to the birth. Like the wild goats out there, Job, if you understand about... Job, you know how to mark the time and so forth when she's going to bring forth? Well, Job, I've given you some... Maybe not Job, because he didn't have all the written information in his day. But for you and me today, and in particular for the nation of Israel in the tribulation period, they're going to have the Word of God. And they're going to have a time schedule. Just like they can figure out the time schedule for the gestation period of the wild goats and so forth, they're going to know there's a time schedule they've got to go through. Any believing remnant in their tribulation period is going to know that that whole thing is going to be 7 years from the start of the false Abrahamic covenant. So they'll be able to say, wait a minute, if that false Abrahamic covenant started 1 year ago, we got 6 years to go. Understand that? Question. Ladies, when you were pregnant, what was the common question you had to answer? How far along are you? What do you want to eat? Kind of thing, right? Pickles and chocolate ice cream or whatever. Who knows, you know? How far along are you? Well, how did you know? Because it's somebody, you know, who understood the gestation cycle of human beings and so forth. They said, well, we think you think conception happened here, and so if everything stays on track, you're going to give birth right here. Okay, see that? So, now watch this. Remember the question, knowest thou the time when, canst thou mark when the hinds, canst thou number the months, knowest thou the time? Does that sound like any other doctrine communicated in the Word of God to Israel? Well, I think it does. I think Israel's given a complete time schedule. Daniel chapter number 9. Some of y'all are already going right there, way ahead of me, and that's good. Look at Daniel chapter number 9. How would somebody know the time except God taught them and told them? Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel 9:24 says this. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do some things. He says, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay, even if you don't know the specific details of all those things that are listed, what does it sound like that this time schedule is for? What's its purpose? To wrap things up, to bring in the kingdom, to set Messiah up on his throne, to get rid of sin and so forth, to establish righteousness. So even if you didn't know the specific things that he talks about, it's pretty clear that, hey, Daniel, this time schedule, the end of it will see the establishment of the kingdom on this earth. So he's given a time schedule to see when God is going to bring forth and that nation, he's going to bring forth them to the birth, and he's going to bring forth and the nation is going to be born in a day. See that there? So when he asked Job, which was, you know, hundreds of years before Daniel, he asked Job, "Knowest thou the time?" Job didn't have Daniel 9, but that believing remnant out there in tribulation period will have it. And they'll be able to go back to Job and say, "Yeah, we do know it now. Here's the time schedule right here." He goes on to say this. He says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth..." There's the stop. There's the start point. So the 77s here, the 490 years, here's when you start the calendar. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem." Okay, that's when you start counting the days. That's when, by illustration, that's when you conceive, in a sense. Okay? And he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Now, if you add that up, how many weeks is it? How many? 69. 7, 62. Right? Okay, 69, all right. But wait a minute, I thought he said 70. So there's interesting, there's a week short here. Let's keep reading. He tells him when to start the clock. Not only that, he tells him when the Messiah is going to come. He's going to come at the end of the 69 weeks. Verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be..." what? Right down next to that verse, Isaiah 53, verse 8. What do you think it means he was cut off? He was cut off out of the land of the living. He went to the cross. We now can look back and see that that's the cross there. Anyway, so he's cut off. "And then the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end there shall be with a flood, and to the end the war of desolations are determined." Now watch this, verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for" what? So there's the 70th week of Daniel. All right, so you've got... let me just do it this way. I'm going to focus on that 70th week. 7 years. Now watch the verse. "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the" what? Okay, so if that is 7 years long, well, what would the midpoint be? It would be 3.5 years. How many days? 1,260 days. How many months? Okay, 42 months. Y'all have it in your notes, I know. Okay. God asked Job, "Hey, Job, can you tell the number of months? Hey, Job, can you tell the time, the gestation period? Can you tell the number of days?" See that? They're given the time schedule. So it's almost like, not almost, it is. Here God is asking Job a question about the wild goats and their gestation period. Because in that information are some clues where Israel could know and understand they're going to go through that full time schedule given to Daniel. And at the end of that thing, they're going to go through that 7 year period where the sufferings are intensified. Like that pregnancy, the last few weeks, I suppose it's really, really tough, right? And they're going to be, God's going to bring him to the birth and he's going to bring forth. You go to the book of Revelation. We're not going to do it right now. Book of Revelation, it keeps talking about 42 months, 1,260 days. The times, it just constantly does it. 3.5, you know, 1,260 days, 42 months. It's like, Israel, get a clue here. You've got a time schedule. You can know when you're going to be brought forth. Now watch this. Go with me to Mark chapter number 1. Did you have a question? Okay. Go with me to Mark chapter number 1 and let's see here. I'm racing the clock and I have too many notes. What do I do? Okay. Go to Mark chapter number 1. Watch this. Mark chapter number 1. Watch this. What's that? You have a solution? To be continued. All right. Mark chapter number 1. Watch this. Okay. Mark chapter number 1, verse 14. And then get Matthew 16. Somehow I don't think that's the right reference. Let me look here real quick. Yeah, that would be good. So Matthew 16 and then Luke 19. Okay, so you can have Mark 1, you're going to have Matthew 16, and you're going to have Luke 19. All right, ready? Ready, set, go. All right. Okay. Remember, we're talking about that question. He says, Job, canst thou number the days? Do you know the time? Did you mark the time? Did you mark the months? Job, are you following with me that there's a time schedule here? Well, again, Job didn't have Daniel. He didn't have Isaiah and so forth. He didn't have Matthew. But you and I do. And the believing remnant out there will. So they're going to be able to go read Job's question, the question that God asked Job. They're going to say, wow, we do have the information here. So watch this. It reference to the idea of a time. Mark chapter number 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, hey, guess what? The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Repent and believe the gospel. See, they're right ready for the birth. Daniel, he said that from the going forth of the commandment unto... I better do this differently. Real quick. From the going forth of the commandment until Messiah the Prince, it's going to be 69 of those weeks. And then there's going to be 1 week out there left. And when Jesus Christ says, hey, the time is fulfilled, guess what? He's saying, you know what? The 69 weeks has done past, and I'm here. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was the kingdom at hand? Because the time was fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven wasn't back at hand in Daniel's day. It wasn't at hand in Isaiah's day. It was at hand when Messiah's there, the forerunner's been sent, the signs are there, miracles and wonders, etc. The kingdom was at hand at that time. Look, people quote John the Baptist and Lord Jesus Christ and they say the kingdom of hand is at hand today. You ladies, you moms that have given birth, if somebody was coming up to you today and said, hey, when are you giving birth? You'd slap them. You better believe you'd slap them. Somebody says the kingdom's at hand today. Friends, that is wrong. That's utter foolishness. The kingdom was at hand back then because Messiah showed up and so forth. Israel, the stage was set for them to go through that tribulation period, and God was going to bring forth. The nation was going to give birth in a day. And just like it'd be wrong for somebody to come up to you and say, hey, when are you going to bring forth? Duck, quick! You know, wrong question. You know? Jesus says, hey, the time's fulfilled. Everything's right on track. You see the issue of they could mark the time, right? Now watch this. Go to, what did I say, Matthew 16. Watch this. Verse 3, Matthew 16. Verse 2, Matthew 16, 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not do what? Discern the signs of the times. Job, the believing remnant, is going to be able to discern the signs of the times. Just like when you're getting closer to the birth, you're going to pop, right? You know, the water breaks, you better get to the hospital quick. Understand that? Christ is saying, hey guys, the time's here. I'm here. Messiah's here. Quickly, if you would, to Luke chapter, what I say, Luke 19. Look at verse 11. Luke 9, let me double check here. Yeah, what did I say? I did. Okay, let me do this. Let me go back here because I obviously am confused here. Luke 19:44, I think, is the verse. Start with me at Luke 19. Let's see. Yeah, it is 44. He says, start at verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, keep thee on every side. Tribulation period, right? And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. How come? Because thou knewest not, what? The time of thy visitation. See, when God asked Job the question, Job, knowest thou the time when the wild goats bring forth? Can you mark when the hinds do calf? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or notice now the time when they bring forth. He's not simply asking Job, hey, Job, I want you to make a lifelong study out of the gestation period of the wild goats. But Job, in that information, I'm conveying to you that I'm going to give you a time schedule. You're going to write, and it's going to be written down and so forth. And it's going to equip the nation of Israel to understand that God is going to turn their captivity right on time. See that there? Isn't that amazing? Now, the thing that we're consistently seeing through all this, and again, we're done for this morning. But if God has got all these details prepared ahead of time for them and His plan and purpose for this earth, should there be any doubt that He's just got everything prepared, taken care of for you and me as members of the body of Christ? When He says things like, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's real. It's not just some spiritual thing that we like to talk about. It's real. Heaven is real. The heavenly places are real. And God's already taken care of, you know, the home that you and I are going to have out there. Just like Israel has to trust Him for their provisions and their program, we can rest in the fact that we are already complete in Christ in this program. Isn't that amazing? Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You again for the time to look into Your Word this morning and to allow Your Word to really cause us maybe to think a little bit differently about these questions and about Your whole Word and to trust what Your Word says. We thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the fellowship that we can have around it. In Christ's name, amen.